Broadcasting live from the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta, Georgia, the Training 2015 Conference and Expo.
All right, welcome back to another exciting and informative edition of Learning Insights, coming to you from the show floor of Training 2015 Conference and Expo, Stone Payton, Lee Cantor. And in this segment, Lee, we got some good neighbors right down the street from us.
It's old home week here.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. We have with us Project Supervisor Jeremy Wallace and Program Manager Jason Joints from a little company some of you may recognize called United Parcel Service. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Great.
So now, UPS, you guys are a big learning environment over there?
Absolutely. We've got a few employees that we need to teach a couple things to.
People just don't know how to drive the big brown trucks? There's some learning involved?
Just a little bit.
What's that look like when you're teaching someone to drive one of those trucks? It must be exciting for them, right, the driver?
Yeah, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, the learning and development, our L&D department, has got an entire training program that has been award-winning, that it's called Integrad, that they use to train our drivers on how to drive and how to walk properly without getting hurt. And it's won a lot of awards, and it's an unbelievable program.
Now, is it true that you guys try to avoid left turns? Is that a urban legend?
We can confirm that it's absolutely 100% true.
Wow.
But they do make left turns, so if you ever see a UPS package
don't
car...
Don't assume they're not.
Making a left turn, that's okay. They
need
do
some
it.
Room.
I shouldn't call it in, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Call
right.
it in. They do make some left turns.
So the training, has it changed? Is there less instructor-led and more e-learning these days, or not necessarily, and it depends on the function, or...?
There is. I think, you know, we have gone to... You know, over the years, we've progressed more towards, you know, I would say probably about a 70-30 instructor-led versus e-learning, you know, methodology approach, whereas, you know, I would say even a couple of years ago, you know, our group was probably about a, you know, 90-10, 80-20, mm-hmm. You know, even with a, you know, teetering more towards a 60-40, you know, percentage now, you know, we've gotten the kind of the direction from our lead, our director, to kind of push forward with moving into the, you know, to the newer technologies that are available out there, and we've been able to take full advantage of that for sure.
Yeah, and I think to clarify just a little bit, UPS being such a large organization, there's different training departments. Jeremy and I work in the group that deals with our call centers.
Okay.
Whereas our sales force is really looking at like mobile learning and things like that, ours is mostly in the classroom, and we switch modalities between instructor-led as well as e-learning and blended approaches.
And it doesn't have to be an either-or thing. Like you say, the
right.
blended, there's a lot of advantage into capitalizing on the strengths of both, right?
Absolutely. And one of the things that we found with our representatives is when you can switch modalities in the training environment, it helps keep them focused. If all you've got is somebody like Jeremy or I talking to them for 8 hours a day, it kind of gets old. If you can switch it up and move it into e-learning and break it up, that helps tremendously.
So now when you're working with people in a call center, how are you, like, what are your metrics of success? Is it speed of a call, or is it the customer getting what they need? How do you kind of measure, like, what's important?
Well, I think, you know, historically, when you think about call centers, historically, you think about handle time, things along those
right.
lines. I think we, you know, in the past, that's been a metric that we have addressed with our representatives. We try to get away from that when we speak with them about, you know, giving them feedback on what they're doing well, what they're not. We look more in the call management side of things. How are they taking care of our customers? You know, what efficiency are they getting through a call? So more of, you know, on the lines of, we'll look at handle time and things along those
right.
lines still, but it's more of a guiding, kind of a guidance.
Because you want measure. The outcome for the customer to be what the customer desires, right?
Right? Absolutely.
And so
absolutely.
It's not how quickly you can get the person on and off the call.
Exactly. Handle time, you know, just because you get off the phone in 3 minutes, that doesn't mean you've met the customer's needs.
Right, we're not high-fiving if they're upset.
Right. Exactly right.
So now that's one of the things about measuring anything. Just because you can measure it doesn't mean it's the most important thing to measure, right?
Right, right.
And that's part of the evolution, I guess, of training over the years, right? It is to focus on what's important.
Agreed.
So a backstory on you guys, did you load trucks at one time when you were in high school, or were you always in the training and development or the call center functions? Or
Well, I'll tell you first, it's a funny story. When I was in college, As you know, during Christmas, that's our peak, and we hire a lot of additional help.
Yeah.
When I was in college, I helped one Christmas season, and I had completely blacked it out of my memory until after the interview, and I got the job, and my mom reminded me, you remember you worked for UPS that one Christmas? And I was like, oh, I'd forgotten all about that. By then, I had signed the paperwork, and it was too late. So.
Yeah, my experience on car came after being with the company in the management role. I got a chance to go. Last year we had some bad weather here in the Atlanta area. I got a chance to go out and help deliver packages with that. But coming into UPS, I came in kind of a different approach. I came in out of during grad school as an intern, and then came through after grad school into consultant role and then into management.
Now, do they make all the employees be in a truck at some point? Do you ever have to experience that so you get that view of the world?
The actual UPS from the standpoint, the way the company used to be was you couldn't move into management unless you had been on car. If you had been, you had to start that way.
On car.
But nowadays, and over the last, I would say, probably 15, 20 years, UPS has understood that just because if you were a good driver, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a good salesperson. So right. Going outside the company, which is a pretty big paradigm shift for UPS, going outside the company to look for talent, that's just started in the last 15 years. And Jeremy's a great example of that. In the old days, Jeremy would have had to have gone on, worked in a hub, worked through a package car, and then eventually come into management. And now we're hiring folks straight out of college to come into management ranks.
No, I think the new shift ought to be everybody ought to have a stint at the call center, because that's how you get to know the customer.
This is true.
I'm quite serious. I think that's worth going for.
Absolutely. Well, and it's funny that this peak during Christmas, they had us in management in the GBS group, which deals with the call center. They had us actually taking live chats. And let me tell you, I did that, and it's been a long time. I started in sales. It's been a long time since I have an interaction, and the first four or five were absolutely terrifying. But the great thing about that is that you actually get to feel the customer's angst when their package is in there, and you're talking about Christmas time when somebody's kid's present isn't making it. Cool, man, you got to be able to deal with that and give them the information they need and try to help them get through that and be able to get their package. It was a great experience.
So now, do you find that it's important to kind of share that? Do you share those stories? Like, do you share those calls with the kind of rank and file to hear the panic in the voice of, you know, because that's an important, just like you said, that not everybody can experience it, but it would be good at least they can hear what it sounds like, you know? Is that being implemented?
Yeah, it is. I had a chance this past year for about 6 months to go and be a part of a call center in Panama for UPS. And during that time we were down there, we got a chance to, you know, listen to calls, see what was working, what wasn't working for us. And as part of our, you know, not necessarily part of the training plan, even though we do use calls and training and use that as an opportunity to show them what works and what does not, it's more so in the A Bay, kind of the academy bay side of things for the call center, where they're being coached and supervised on what works and what doesn't. You know, with having them listen to their own calls, having them listen to what they did, you know, typically you're your own worst critic, right?
Right.
So letting them hear how they sounded on a call, what could you have done better, those kind of things. So we want them to see what works and what doesn't, not just what does work. You know, we want to see what happens when things go on.
They're right as well, right?
Yeah,
that's what you can learn from that as well.
Exactly. Yeah, both ends, both sides of the coin, that's for sure.
So where do you get all of your smart stuff? You have subject matter experts internally. I guess you go outside for smart people, and then you've got to gather a lot of information from a lot of folks to continue to have robust training, right?
That's true. That's very true. It's definitely
there's only so many Jeremys.
That's right.
Exactly.
Right. There's only one guy.
Exactly. And thank goodness we've got him, because I'm telling you. But no, we've got in terms of the call centers, there's a process team, and their job is basically to define what the agents are supposed to do. They're our internal subject matter experts, and then they pass that information on to us. And then we're the ones that manage the development of the training. We use contracted instructional designers to actually do that, relying on their expertise That's the way that the training happens. And then, you know, you've got system updates and changes in process and regulations that have been updated.
Yeah, quick as you get it figured out, the target moves, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
You're never done with this stuff. So, yeah, talk about devices, platforms. Some of this stuff's got to look good and work on a phone or a tablet or a television or a computer or whatever, right?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that's difficult for us with having so many, you know, folks around the world is trying to do the mobile learning and getting that all on one platform, those kind of things. So we typically, a lot of our training is computer-based or instructor-led. And by computer-based, we have an LMS that we use that we, you know, have our e-learning modules filter through. Primarily computer-based videos, e-learning, things along those lines. We haven't quite gotten into the mobile learning side of things just mm-hmm. because it's such a, for our organization with so many employees, it's a very large undertaking to try to do that across the board.
And especially in terms of the call center, all the training happens on site. The representatives are paid for that training. So the need, in terms of the call center, to have mobile learning going on isn't there yet. Now, you compare that with our corporate sales training group, which right now are looking very heavily at mobile learning because the salespeople, if they're in an office, they're not making any sales. So having them being able to be right. out in between calls when they're sitting in a waiting room or sitting in an office waiting for somebody, they can pull up their phone or their tablet and take a quick
right.
e-learning piece. That's where the mobile learning is really coming into play.
That's probably where it'll start rolling
Absolutely.
Out because that's where the rubber hits the road.
Absolutely.
When they're trying to sell somebody, he's trying to sell somebody something.
Well, you could call the call center people on their cell phones and give them a pop quiz, like on their drive home.
Exactly. Wait a minute, what are you doing calling me? Exactly, yeah.
How would you handle this?
Exactly.
So now, do you ever take like that, like if somebody did something great in a call center, you record it and then you share it with everybody, like this is what a rock star stand sounds like, or this is a great way of handling, like kind of a greatest hits album of, you know, handling tough calls?
In a lot of the, not in terms of general posting calls, but we do use that in our training, in the actual instructor-led training that we do. When we go through and we're teaching different interpersonal skills, we go through and we have the agents listen to various examples of calls. Mm-hmm. They listen to some that are not good.
Right.
And those are very easy to identify.
Right.
But then on top of that, then we have them listen to other calls that are, as you said, rock stars, even ones that take longer, but it was simply, I mean, one of the best examples I can remember is we had an elderly lady call in and she was trying to return her DirecTV receiver and she didn't understand how the label worked and who was going to pick it up and everything. And the agent who was on the phone, it was over a 10-minute phone call to just basically tell her that, you know, if this is how it works, but it was phenomenal the way that agent, and we get a lot of response from our representatives that hear that call.
Right, and then it's that level of patience and tenacity
Correct.
To stick with it and not get frustrated, right?
Correct.
And then help the customer achieve the outcome they desire.
Absolutely. And a lot of what our representatives do, it's really kind of educating our customers when they call in. They get one or two packages a year, or,
right.
or you know, now with e-learning, it's more than that, but they don't get as many as a business does, so
right.
they don't necessarily understand
how
transportation
works.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're doing a better job now. Previously, we didn't do a fantastic job of on our website explaining exactly what's going on with the package. A lot of the messages were kind of cryptic,
right.
and in the last year, we've really cleaned those up. So helping our customers is really a big part of what our agents do.
Now, do you ever get it where they're like, they use another carrier and they're yelling at you and it wasn't even you?
That never happens.
Never happened.
There's another carrier? I didn't.
So what's next for you guys? What's on the horizon? Anything in particular? Something you're allowed to share?
Or is
it all like double
about
secret
any
probation stuff?
Well, from the training perspective, I can at least talk about that, right?
Yeah.
The training perspective, I know one of the things that we're looking into is how we can bring in gamification.
There you go. There's not enough gamification in learning. I am always saying
all over the gamification. Yeah. He really is.
So yeah, we're trying to bring that into our curricula a little more and see what we can do with that. And then, you know, of course, just to make sure, you know, not to do e-learning for the sake of e-learning, but see where we can improve our training for the end user, for the learner,
right?
You know, across the board, whether that's, you know, to making our instructor-led more streamlined, or if it's to, you know, take out something that's instructor-led now and convert it to e-learning.
Right.
We're always looking for ways to improve. That's one of the things about UPS is always being constructively dissatisfied.
Whoa, I got to write that down. Yeah, I'm going to play that back. Constructively dissatisfied.
There you go. We use that often in UPS. That was Jim Casey, our founder, used that first. So, yeah, but that's, you know, one of the things that we're always pushing to do is to continually improve and always be measuring and looking at ways we can do that.
Well, I like the gamification angle. You've earned 2 credits.
That's right.
And Jason, you've earned 1.
All right, that's fine. That's fine. I'm just glad I got 1.
Two Business Radio X Training Pros credits.
Awesome.
All right. So if your colleagues want to reach out, have a conversation with you guys, maybe learn about best practices, LinkedIn, Twitter, what's a good way for them to connect? You guys got some way?
LinkedIn's
where
great.
Do you guys hang out?
LinkedIn's always good. Yeah,
seems like that's where everybody is.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you both for joining us. And you know, we are neighbors. You got to come in the studio.
Absolutely, we'll have to come over there sometime. That'd be great. We'd love to see it.
All right, for Lee Cantor, this is Stone Payton. We will be back in a few from the show floor at Training 2015 Conference and Expo.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.